Lord, I give you thanks again for the opportunity that we have to gather in our homes and to worship you today. And in this moment, a time where we would normally be taking our offering and our services, we want to still continue to pause and to recognize, God, that everything that we have comes from you, that you are our provider. And Father, we give you thanks for your provision. Lord, we give you thanks that you are so intimately involved in our lives and that you allow us to be a part of the work that you are doing in and also through your church. And so as we give, whether that be later this week, after the service, or however we may choose to do so, Father, we still come with a cheerful heart, a heart that says, Lord, we give back to you because we want you to take what you have already given to us and multiply it for your kingdom purposes to reach more people with the good news of the gospel. And so, Father, we love you. We thank you. And we continue to worship you in song, in our giving, and also now as we enter into your word. And we ask you, God, to speak through your Holy Spirit into our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, things have changed rather quickly over these past many weeks for so many of us. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier in the service, there are 100, you know, we've gone from being able to be in groups of 100 down to 50, down to 10, now being in this area of social distancing. And it's interesting how we see our culture responding in these moments, because as our culture even responds, there's so many weird things that are happening. We see toilet paper flying off the shelves at our grocery stores. We see food flying off the shelves and shelves are empty, and it's this weird feeling that we have of what is going on. I mean, I remember going to the store just the other morning. I was going to go and just pick up a couple of items, and as I was getting out of my car, it was probably about 9 o'clock in the morning, I literally saw this gang of middle-aged women, and I mean it when I say gang of middle-aged women, traveling in a pack together, walking into the store with this gait in their walk that had purpose in it. And I told myself, those women are going to go in there and they're going to find toilet paper or they're going to cause trouble. So I continued to walk in behind them and watch where they went. And it was hilarious to watch. They beelined for the toilet paper area, grabbed as much as they could, went and bought it all, and then took off. And I'm sure we're heading off to the next store. I mean, it is crazy to think that we see things like this happening in our world and our culture today. I was at Sam's Club picking up a couple things and overheard this gentleman talking about the fact that he wanted ramen noodles, and he was talking to the store employee, where are the ramen noodles? And the guy's like, hey man, those were the first things that flew off the shelf. We haven't had any. We probably won't have any for weeks. And I'm like, man, what is this coming to? People are dying without their ramen. And then I come home and a few days later, I'm on Facebook and see that one of my close friends is saying, I'm just dying for a package of ramen. I'm like, what is happening? I want you to think about it. There's so much that has changed and there's so many strange things that are going on. And it's weird for us as a church because we aren't able to gather together. And so church now looks very, very different. And I think one of the things that we all feel in this season is a sense of a loss of community. As we isolate from each other and isolate from one another out of love and respect in order to protect each other and the elderly and those who are immune compromised from potentially coming down with this virus. And it's the sense of this loss of community that has driven where I am going to head this morning in our message. I think that all of us struggle as we recognize the reality of being separated from each other. And as we move into this season, we have been going through a series together in the book of Acts, and we will continue in that series. We're going to take a couple weeks of a little bit different turn, but I will be taking a look again this morning in the book of Acts, but I want us to dial backwards just a little bit. I believe that there are some very deep and profound truths that God wants to continue to reveal to us, something we've already looked at together as a church, but I believe that God is using in this season for his church to open up our eyes and to see a very new truth about who we are and who God desires for us to be as his people and his church. If you have your Bibles with you at home or your Bible apps, would love for you to turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 2. I want to take us back to this passage, and as we struggle with this sense of what does church look like and what does it look like to be in community with one another when we can't physically be, many of us are asking the question, can the church still be the church if we can't gather together as normal? And I want us to pause again and take a look at what the scriptures tell us about the church and how the church is defined. And so in your Bibles, let's take a look again together at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 48. This is the very beginning of the church as they gathered together. And as they gathered together, this is what we read about who they were. The passage says this, it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came on every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions, their belongings, and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. As we look at this passage, we receive a description here from Luke in the book of Acts of what the early church looked like. And we have this picture for us. And I want us to take a moment to look at how, how the church is defined. In your notes, and again, there are sermon notes that you can use and follow along with. I would encourage you each week to print those off, and you can still use them at home. But there is a small link under the live stream where you can click and follow along with me in those notes. But letter A, one of the first things that we see as we read through this passage that we can gather about how the church is defined is this, is that the church is not a building, but a people. We spent quite a bit of time as we've been going through this series talking about this truth. The early church did not have a building per se like we would in our culture today to gather together in large churches, if you will. But what we actually read here in Acts 2 is that they would often meet together in the temple courts, like in Solomon's colonnade. They would meet with each other from house to house, gathering and worshiping. The church wasn't a building. You'll never find anywhere in Scripture that the church, when spoken about, is talking about a place that people would go. It never talks about the church in those terms. The church is always talked about in Scripture in terms of the fact that the church wasn't a building, but it was people. The church wasn't a sterile environment where people gathered together out of ritual every single week to walk through the motions of worship. But the church was people who cared for you. It was people who encouraged you. It was people who challenged you, who cried with you in the most difficult moments of life, who celebrated with you in the most exhilarating moments of life. They were people who worshiped with you in every moment of every single day. You didn't do church. You didn't go to church. You gathered with the church. The church was never a building. The church has always been God's people. Letter B, we also see that this passage describes the church in this way. It says that they were devoted to growing in Christ together. As we look at it, it tells us that when these new converts had come to faith in Jesus Christ, they were hungry within their hearts to know God. They were hungry to know him and to honor him with their lives and to give everything that they had in their lives to living on mission with him. Verse 46 tells us that they attended the temple together. Often they would meet together in the temple courts, and it appears to be the place where they would come together to hear the public preaching or teaching of the word, and they would seek to grow and learn from the apostles. And there's no doubt as well from scripture that we see that they would meet together in their homes, and again, they would continue to receive teaching from the apostles. But what we see is that there was this innate hunger within the people of God to know God and to live their lives on mission with Him, not living for their own purposes in the world, but living according to His purposes and His mission for their lives. Letter C, as we read through this, we see that they were not only devoted to growing in Christ, but they were devoted to each other. And this is one of my favorite parts of this passage, because we oftentimes get it so mixed up. It talks about the fact that they were devoted to the fellowship. And oftentimes we'll talk about that being that they were just devoted to fellowship, which in our minds means they gathered for a potluck, they hung out together, they loved each other, they shared some things in common. But it was more about, in our understanding of fellowship, we often think of these points of gathering. But when we read the passage, what it says is not just fellowship in the terms of church potlucks and hanging out. Fellowship was not just a community of friends. It was an enterprise of divine character. It wasn't just being devoted to fellowship. It was to the fellowship. They were devoted to one another. Verse 44 reveals this as it says that all who believed were together and had all things in common. And this relationship that they had brought a sense of responsibility to one another. The passage tells us that they would sell their possessions, that they would distribute food to the needy. They truly cared for one another and looked out for each other. And they weren't just giving from their wealth. They were truly, many of them, giving sacrificially, a beautiful picture of generosity, but also a beautiful picture of the general friendship and unity that characterized the early church as they were devoted to each other. Letter D, we see also that they were devoted to doing life together. And the picture that is given here is one of relational community that was developed. And within this, they were literally doing their lives together, experiencing a depth of relationship with one another. No doubt, there were times of gathering where they were focused together and they were reminding each other of the work of Jesus Christ. But the picture that is given here is this, is that of a community that was developing deep relationships, caring for one another and not living in isolation from one another. But I want you to catch this morning, and we will come back to this. It would be very easy for us as we see this picture of what it meant to do life together. It would be very easy for us to get the idea that we aren't able to do that in our current situation today. But what I want you to simply see, and we will come back to, is that doing life together wasn't necessarily about the gathering. It was about the depth of their devotion to their relationship with each other. We will also see letter E, that it tells us in this passage that the church was devoted to prayer. And most specifically, when we look at this word in the Greek, it was actually, the word for prayer was in the plural form, prayer, suggesting that what was being spoken of was potentially these formal prayers that they would pray throughout the day. But it's doubtless that not only would they pray at these specific times, but they would pray in their gatherings. They would pray with other groups of believers, and they were intent on seeking God as a community, but also as individuals. And they made it a priority to pray and continually seek the Lord and to seek Him together. And so doing, they were putting into practice the yielding of their lives to Him, placing their full faith and trust in Him, and allowing the very Spirit of God to move through them. Letter F, we see that as well, they are defined in this way. They were not only just merely devoted to growing in Christ and devoted to each other, devoted to doing life together, devoted to prayer. But we see letter F that they were committed to being a redemptive community. As they lived out their faith, people day by day were coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We see that in one moment, 3,000 people were added to their number. And as the church continued to live out its redemptive purpose, thousands and thousands more would come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. This was the purpose that God had called his people to, that he had called the church to, that they would live on mission with him and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to the world that surrounded them. And as we think about this truth and we think about this picture of the church that we have here in the book of Acts, it might be easy for us to take a step back, especially in the moment that we find ourselves in our world and in our culture today, and ask that question, well, can we still really be the church if we can't gather together as normal? Can we really do a lot of these things that even the early church in the book of Acts was experiencing together if we cannot be present with one another? And it's been interesting for me to watch and to see the different ways in which people have struggled with this as we have walked through this season in our culture today. I have listened to many pastors who are struggling with church members who are furious about the ability to not gather, wanting to be together, people questioning whether or not we can really survive and truly be the church if we can't gather together as normal. But you know, when we really think about it, it sounds like such a silly question. Can this church still be the church if we can't gather together as normal? We know intuitively that the answer to that question is yes, we can. And yet there is this tension that resides as we struggle to figure out what it means and what it looks like. And the thing that God has been laying on my heart this week as we enter into this season as a church together is this truth. Is that I believe that this season is going to reveal in a very deep way what the church in America is made of today. I believe that God is going to use this season as a season of refining of his church. It might actually reveal to us that the greatest disease that we face is not the coronavirus, but there may actually be a greater disease that has taken root in our lives and maybe even in our churches. And that disease is a disease where we hunger for the things of this world to bring us joy and to bring us pleasure and to bring us fulfillment and to be the thing that gives us comfort rather than placing our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It is so easy, even in the church, in our normal gatherings, to make our gathering about us and what we get out of it, rather than about the one in whom we have come to worship and to serve. And as we think about this truth, we think about the fact that in the church in America today, so much has centered around what we get, rather than what we have come to give. And that is a sickness that resides within us. And as we think about this truth, we can see this as a negative and we can look at it and we can wallow in it and be like, man, everything's screwed up, or maybe I'm screwed up. Or church, we can see this moment in time as a grace-filled opportunity from God to step back and to evaluate who we are in him. It will, without question, as we walk through this season, provide us an opportunity as individuals and also as the collective church to have a reset. Now, in golf, this idea of a reset, we call it a mulligan. Now, some people don't believe in the mulligan. I believe in it wholeheartedly. Thank you, Jesus. The second time I ever went golfing in my life, I was at hole two at a place called Hartwell Golf Course in Lakewood, California. And only second time golfing, I was with a buddy of mine, and we got paired up with two other gentlemen that I didn't know. And they're sitting there on hole number two, looking down this par three fairway. There's this beautiful green that's out in front of us with a bunker that was kind of out on the right-hand side. And as I walked up to hit, I can remember getting in my position and thinking I knew what I was doing. I got ready to take my swing, and I took my swing back and I looked up and I swung as hard as I could to try to get that ball as close to the hole. And the ball literally shot directly to the right. And there was a gentleman that we were golfing with standing over there, and I nearly killed the man. I mean, it went whizzing by him. And he just kind of pauses and looks at me, and I'm like, sorry, only my second time golfing, you know, and I'm very ashamed, and I kind of walk by, but he comes walking up to me, and he puts his arm around me, and he says, hey, you ever heard of mulligan? I'm like, no. And so he explains to me what an idea of a mulligan is, that I would get a redo. And so he says, hey, come here. This guy that I don't know steps back with me, and he says, I want you to look at how you're standing. I want you to fix your swing. And when you swing, he says, don't take your eye off the ball until that ball is gone, and then follow through with your swing and get that ball up in the air, and you're going to put it on the green. So he let me step back, take a moment of reevaluation, and he gave me another shot. And so I did just that. I stepped right up to that ball. I did everything. He said, I didn't look. I hit that ball square. And then I looked up, and that ball was flying directly to the green. I was amazed. I couldn't believe that it happened. And as it came down, it was coming down, and it hit off the top of the lip of the bunker that was on the right of the green, and it hit, and it began to roll directly to the left across the green towards the hole. And I kid you not, dropped directly in the hole. It's true, Adam. I couldn't believe it. I did the Happy Gilmore. That golf club is between my legs. I'm running around. I was so excited. I was thrilled. I'm screaming, I got a hole in one. Of course, my friend's like, nope, that was a mulligan. But you know what? To me, that was it. The idea of that mulligan, though, was this truth. This gentleman provided me an opportunity to step back, to look at what was going on, to make some shifts and adjustments, and to move forward. And what a glorious moving forward it was. Only time in my life. I believe that God is providing the church in this moment an opportunity for a reset, to evaluate, to step back, to make adjustments, and to come back stronger than ever before. To stop making this about ourselves and to make this about Him. Everything in our lives, because of the coronavirus, literally feels like it is being stripped away from us in our day-to-day lives. Everything seems as though, in some regard, normal life is coming to a halt. Some people are struggling because they have lost jobs. Others are working from home. Others, as I was reminded this morning, are working hours on end because of what is going on. For most children, school has been canceled. Our kids' sports seasons have been canceled. Our vacations have been put on hold. Restaurants and all forms of public entertainment have been stopped and closed. We are being isolated away from people and being forced into solitude. And church, do you see that maybe there could possibly be something very beautiful that could come from this moment where we are forced out of our regular routines? Our lives are often so busy with all of these things and set in such stagnant routines that we often don't take the time to step back, to evaluate our lives, and to move forward anew with Jesus. This dark moment in our world today has the potential to be the church's finest hour. It's moments like this in the world where everything seems to be upset and to be different. It's moments like these that search us. They intensify our own understanding of our frailty and our mortality. The sinking sand of this world is something that is a constant, or should be a constant, reality to us, but often it takes the storms of this life to actually reveal it. And yet in this moment for us, it's an opportunity to evaluate and to reset our priorities as individuals and also the church. And I believe it has the potential to be our finest hour as followers of Jesus Christ. And don't get me wrong, I say this with such confidence because it's been proven throughout the history of our world, but also throughout the history of the church. one example of this. If you were to go back and look in the history books, you will see that some of the greatest moments of growth in the church itself has been in specific moments throughout our history when plagues have actually ravaged the world. One example of that is this, and it's called the Plague of Cyprian. This was back in 249 to 262 AD. In and around the area of Rome. What happened is this plague of Cyprian was likely a pandemic of influenza or something that was like the Ebola virus today. And as this virus, this plague attacked this area, it caused widespread manpower shortages for food production and also for the Roman army. And it severely weakened the Roman Empire. At its height, this sickness that was going around, they believe, caused around 5,000 deaths a day in Rome alone. And yet, in the middle of this, there was this gentleman in the church by the name of Cyprian of Carthage. And these are the words that he spoke as he reflected on this season. He said this, "This suffering that is taking place, this suffering was profitable as a proof of faith, a moment to rejoice and embrace the benefit of the occasion, that in thus bravely showing forth our faith and by suffering endured, going forward to Christ by the narrow way that Christ had trod, we may receive the reward of his life and his faith." What Cyprian of Carthage recognized is that in this moment, where the world was turned on its head, where people didn't know what to do and people were dying and the world was left in a sense of chaos, what he was speaking to and speaking of is that Christians in that time were known for their love. They were known for caring for the sick. They were known for risking their lives. And while the church experienced, because of this, they experienced massive growth because of the testimony of their lives to the world in this season. And the strength of their faith actually stood out in stark contrast to the rest of the world. Historians wrote about the fact that people that didn't know Christ, when the sickness was ravaging Rome, men, normal men, were taking and running and doing everything they could to isolate from their common man who was sick and dying. But when they speak of the Christians were running in to it, looking to care for the sick, many of them even giving their own lives to care for the common man, but yet showing the depth of the love of Jesus. Do you know what the result of this was? The result was that in a span of about 40 years, there were over 5 million new people that came to faith in Jesus Christ. Because in this season, the church continued to be the church. Not with their eyes focused on the things of this world, but with their eyes focused on eternity and Jesus himself. The truth is that in this season with the coronavirus, the temptation that we will face will be to hunker down and just simply weather the storm. Our temptation is to put up with the inconvenience until we can get back to normal. We'll go isolate for a little while and we'll just hope and pray that we can get things back to normal. Our normal routines, our crazy lives, our crazy sports schedules, our things that fill our lives that we think bring us the most joy, if we can just simply sit long enough and weather the storm. But maybe, just maybe, would you pause with me? Maybe that is not what God wants from his people in this moment. God doesn't want us to just wait for it to pass. He doesn't want us just simply to weather the storm. Because I believe that in this season, the Lord wants to use this moment to speak truth into our lives that I believe we couldn't hear if we were simply mired in our normal routines. What is taking place in our world has caused to rise to the surface for us what really matters in life. And if we would take time to step back and to pause, whether it's in the fact that our lives all of a sudden have a lot of time on our hands, or maybe our lives are even busier, if we would take a moment to pause and to reflect and to listen to the voice of God and to truly devote ourselves to Him, we may actually find that this will be the church's greatest hour. I want to challenge you, church, when we ask ourselves this question, the question of, can the church still be the church in this season? The answer is undoubtedly yes. And I want to push you into this place in this season of going deeper with God. I want you to, like the early church, be devoted to growing in Christ. Use this time to step back and to reflect on your own relationship with Him. Things are going to look different in the church. We aren't going to be able to gather together in our normal environments here at the church, or maybe even in our small groups. But thank God we have the ability with modern technology to take advantage of opportunities to still connect with each other and with the church for the purposes of growing deeper in Christ. We're moving our ministries online. As we mentioned earlier, there are different things you'll hear about this coming week, like Right Now Media, that give us the opportunity to have things that will take us into God's Word and allow us to continue to grow. This season is also providing for us a time to step back and to reflect and to think about developing new rhythms of how we will grow deeper in Christ and devote ourselves more wholly to Him, but also in how we will lead our families in times of prayer and study together and truly devoting ourselves to growing together in Christ. I want to challenge you to think about how it is that you can use this season to grow deeper in Him. Step back and reflect and ask yourself the question, am I truly devoted to Jesus? As well, there are going to be many opportunities for us to continue to be devoted to one another. Being devoted to one another, as we read about in Acts chapter 2, does not require us physically actually being together as we walk through this strange season. I think it's best described in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, where Paul tells us to count others as more significant than ourselves. I want you to take this season to step back and to look for opportunities to serve one another, to meet each other's needs, to think about those who are maybe elderly or maybe even immune compromised and how you might help and serve them. We may not be able to always meet together in different groups as we normally do, but there is a great opportunity for us to show the love of Jesus Christ to one another in the way that we care for each other's needs. Whether that be running errands for each other, helping to financially support one another, we have a great opportunity to be the church in the way that we are devoted to each other. As well, we can still be devoted to doing life together. And I want you to think again about this truth. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says this, "Let us consider how to stir one another to love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Even as we listen to this, it would be easy for us to say, wait, it says don't give up meeting together, but we can't meet together. But I want you to understand, meeting together is not about coming together in large groups as the church. Meeting together is how we call one another. It's how we get on the phone. It's how we get together in creative environments. It's how we write letters to one another and take time to encourage each other and lift each other up. Take time in the weeks to come to find creative ways to continue to do life together, because doing life together isn't necessarily just about the gathering. Doing life together is about how we share life together, how we love one another, how we encourage each other in difficult seasons. It's how we support one another. Find creative ways to encourage each other as we walk through this season together. Be devoted to seeking God in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 through 18, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I believe that one of the greatest opportunities we have in this season is to step back and to try to spend more time with the Lord, seeking Him daily and asking Him to transform us, but also to provide us with many opportunities to be a light to the world that surrounds us. Because letter E, I actually believe this season is going to provide us an even greater opportunity to be the redemptive community that Scripture talks about. And church, can I challenge you to be the church in the way that you are looking for opportunity to show Christ's love to your neighbors, in the way that you serve them, in the way that you love them? Will you pray for and look for those opportunities to care for them? I believe, church, that if we will press in deeper with the Lord in this season, I believe that we will once again, even while a sense of darkness has covered over our world, I believe that the light of Jesus will shine for everyone to see, and that this has the potential to be our greatest hour. Because as the light of Jesus shines through His people, we will see the brokenness and the hopelessness of our world and the feebleness of this life. And yet we and many others in that process will see the hope that can be had through Jesus Christ. And we can come to a true understanding that His way is better. So church, in this season when things are different, when our being the church looks differently and gets creative, let your light shine. Let the world see in this moment that Christ's way is better. Be the church. Would you pray with me? God, I thank You for the time that we have together to be in Your word today, again, gathered around in all of our homes. And Lord, I recognize that this season is different for all of us. For some of us, it creates a whole lot more time on our hands. For some of us, it has made us even more busy. And for many of us, Father, it has brought us to a place of feeling the foundations underneath our feet shaking. It causes fear. It causes us to question a lot of things. But Father, I pray that You would use this season in each of our lives as Your church to take a step back and to evaluate and to seek You and to allow You, God, what You, I believe, desire, want to do in us in this season, which is a brand new work. If we're honest, we can confess before You, God, that in many ways in our lives become about us. They become about what we can get out of it. They become about all of the pursuits that we are seeking to fill our lives with joy and fulfillment. And Father, at times we just try to squeeze You into that to make it a little bit better. Open up our eyes, God, to see that the world that surrounds us cannot be taken with us. That everything that we pursue will one day pass away. And that is certain. But the other certain truth, Lord, is that when we have placed our faith and trust in Your Son, Jesus Christ, as He poured out His life on a cross for us, we can be certain that we have hope of eternal life with You, and that there is a much greater purpose for us in this life than just the seeking of things to fill up our lives that will one day pass away. But there is a mission that You have called us to. And that, Father, as we move with You on mission for the purposes of Your kingdom, we will accomplish things with You that will last forever. So as we look at everything that's happening around us, reveal to us, God, in our hearts what needs to change in us, Your church. May You help us to see how we can move to greater devotion to You. And that as that happens, God, I pray that You would use us. And this would be a fine moment for Your church all across this nation and all across the world. that because your church rises up in devotion to you, that many would come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And to you alone, God, be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.